Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. God only knows why. Welcome to it.
What? I have two doctors in the studio today. Okay.
We brought a psychiatrist in.
Want to introduce
a psychologist? A forensic psychologist in.
Forensic psychologist. Want to introduce him, Sandy?
Yes, Dr. Gianni Pirelli.
Yes. Pirelli, like the tire.
Pirelli.
That's easy to remember.
Yes.
Dr. Pirelli, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Welcome. Good. Dr. P, I keep shortening it, we're from New Jersey. Dr. Pirelli is a member of Gun for Hire Range. He shoots here. He brings his significant other. Is that the proper term today, significant other?
Yes.
Okay, could say girlfriend too, but I just said significant other. We're going to get into some stuff with the doc in a minute, but I have an announcement to make before Sandy gets into it with the doc. New Jersey has a major
victory. That sort of didn't
victory.
Come out right, did it?
Yes. On May 14th, we have a major victory. I want everybody who's listening to this who's had to fill out extra paperwork in the state of New Jersey, it will all be gone.
You've been napified.
Napified. Decision binding on all New Jersey towns per case brought by the Napin Law Firm. In a published decision binding upon all New Jersey municipalities, the New Jersey Appellate Division has confirmed that New Jersey municipalities may not require added forms for firearms permit applications beyond the state forms. Period. Okay?
End of statement.
This is a reverse decision from the Middlesex County Superior Court judge that affirmed an East Brunswick permit denial because the applicant refused to complete the added municipal forms, like Jeremy Perez, who fought in Patterson and
right
won.
In Patterson, right.
All right, and the other gentleman in Jersey City, which was the other Napping case, McCarthy? I'm trying to think of the name now. But this is what we have. So they've been put on notice. The New Jersey superintendent of the state police has been put on notice. The attorney general's office has been put on notice. And all the towns and municipalities. Scott Bach in the ANJRPC. I'm sorry, McGovern. McGovern case.
McGovern,
there it is.
Right, that's
in
right.
Jersey City. Perez in Patterson. I want to thank McGovern and Perez, as well as the Napin Law Firm and Scott Bach in the ANJRPC, because if they didn't have the stones to start these cases, we wouldn't have had a third case where the appellate division had to get in and take care of this.
It was the Perez case was the first one, wasn't
it? Also, by the way, both of those cases, and the third case too, were partially funded by the NRA Civil Rights Defense Fund. That's where I donate my money to the NRA through the Civil Rights Defense Fund. So Napin wrote, Lewis P. Napin wrote in response to the decision, all New Jersey residents should be treated equally under law and with equal due process. I'm glad that the appellate division recognized my arguments and did something positive to stop the rogue behaviors of licensing authorities. This is also an important development because the superintendent of state police has recently proposed administrative code changes to the permitting process, which now they can't, okay? The Association of Rifle and Pistol Clubs had previously put all towns on notice regarding this issue by way of their operation permitting strike force. Now municipalities that continue to break the law will face consequences. Official misconduct, official malfeasance.
That's right.
Okay? If Detective Brown adds additional paperwork.
Or if the chief, which is usually the chief.
The prosecutor is going to charge them.
Yeah.
Now, strike force is still going on town to town to get the blatant offenders where it takes 6 months and everything else. But now, with this decision, everybody should go on the ANJRPC website, print out a copy of this decision, and if you live in one of those towns that have additional forms and paperwork, when you go get your permit, you want to give the police officer there a copy of it.
It might be just an oversight. It might be just an innocent oversight. But many times, in most of the cities, especially the Democrat-controlled cities, it is not an oversight. It
correct.
Is
they do it on purpose.
On purpose.
They do it on purpose. They treat the inner-city people, especially minorities. They push them around.
Well,
they
that's what gun
advantage.
Control has always been
correct.
About.
Correct. So, major victory.
Super,
I knew it was coming down. Napin told me last week when he was here doing his gun seminar, he said it was coming up. He didn't know what the final decision was going to be, and lo and behold, there's your decision.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing. I would like to get some stuff out on this segment. Recall Sweeney. is gaining traction.
Good.
Thank you for your donations. Recall, RECALLSWEENEY.com. Here's the deal. We have a date for the rally. I will be there at the rally. Okay, this is from Alexander Rubian. The website is recallsweeney.com, NJ2AS.com. Make sure you mention on the show that the rally will be held on Saturday, June 27th at 9 a.m. in the Glass Barrel area. Can't give you the location yet because we're afraid some politician might step in and deny our permit and pull it. It's been approved already.
9 a.m.
We've been approved. Yes, 9 a.m. in the Glass Barrel area. There will be complimentary coffee, bagels, and donuts. We are focusing on results-oriented activism, so we will have a speaker, 30 minutes of training, and then we will all hit the district to gather signatures. Now, he's posted the date on social media already, and he's already got pushback from people that there's a barbecue that day, there's a graduation that day. Cut the shit. This is a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Chris Knight from Colorado is going to be there that day helping us out. Listen, Alexander wants me to please emphasize that we understand it is barbecue and graduation season, and most people probably have other plans, etc. But drive the point that if we dedicate a morning and afternoon for this recall rally and gather the signatures required, we will have more rights next year than this year, and that this is something worthwhile to celebrate.
Plus, you get to hit the barbecue and graduation parties and get more signatures.
You can go in the afternoon anyway.
Of course.
Listen, so I'm going to drive down 2.5 hours to the Glass Barrel area. Maybe I have stuff to do that night, too. I also have a life. So I'll get home 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I don't care. I'm doing this. We have to do this. We need a strong show of force. The media is going to be there. We're flying, goddamn it, we're flying Chris Knight out. He's flying out on his own nickel. He's an NRA board member, newly elected. Mm-hmm. He spearheaded the recall elections in Colorado, the movement.
Yep.
And they recalled the Senate president and one other lech, okay? This is what we have to do. It's, remember this, it's, what, I can't
the
say lech?
No, you could.
June 27th.
Your humble opinion.
9 a.m. in the, no, that's what I think.
Oh, okay.
9 a.m. in the Glass Barrel area. We're going to get together. Chris Knight's going to speak. Alexander's going to speak. We're going to go over a little bit of training, and everybody's going to break into groups. We have the list. We're going to start canvassing the area for the names. All the stars are aligning up in this
right.
for us. RecallSweeney.com. We need donations. We need time. We need money. If people want to volunteer to help defray the cost of the donuts, the day of the rally, there'll be a donation container down there. Tell all your friends and family, Rutgers alumni and everything. RecallSweeney.com. June 27th, 9 a.m. No excuses.
We have to do this. We
By the way,
do this.
Bill Fearon, big shout out. Went to visit him yesterday, recuperating from his surgery.
Sweet. All right, we're coming right back with the Doc. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment's being brought to you by
Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic in Bridgewater, New Jersey.
Another
if you
doc.
I'm outnumbered. If you or someone you know lives within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, please check out WaldorfChiropractic.com. If not, pass it on to friends and family. He's published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You.
It can help you.
So WaldorfChiropractic.com. One more note of information. ANJRPC has joined in a friend of the court legal brief on the right to carry filed by several state associations. We've talked about Peruta versus San Diego before. The district judges out there, the Ninth District?
The Ninth Circuit Court
denied this case.
Yeah.
And then another judge came in and said, no, you couldn't deny it on its merits. And they reversed the denial. So it's back on track. Peruta versus San Diego. We are now on that case with Jersey's right to carry because we got knocked off of ours, and we all believe Peruta is the next case.
So by filing the amicus brief, we get on the case?
Yes, we're on the case. Yeah, we filed a friend of the court legal brief. Legal analysis believe that Peruta is the next major case on right to carry that the Supreme Court will be asked to hear, okay? The Ninth Circuit Court struck it down. And then, of course, a judge came in and said you didn't show good cause and reversed it. So ANJRPC.com is supporting this. We're involved with the New York State Rifle and Pistol, Gun Owners Action League in Massachusetts, that's GOAL, the Maryland State Rifle and Pistol Association.
Wow.
Look at the states that are involved. California, Maryland, New York, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. There's 44 good states. The only bad state that's not in here is Hawaii.
Right.
And they might file a friend of the court brief.
You think anybody there is
I don't know, but here we go, guys. National reciprocity,
right to carry.
We have
like 7 listeners in Hawaii.
I don't know, but it's all here. All right, is there a doctor in the house?
Yes, there is.
All right.
Gianni.
Go ahead, Gianni.
All right, so tell me first, you are a forensic psychologist. Talk to me about what a forensic psychologist does and why it's important to the gun owner.
Right. So a forensic psychologist is essentially a clinical psychologist who has a specific training in criminal and civil law type of issues. So I've worked in all types of psychiatric hospitals, prisons, correctional facilities, and so forth.
My house.
And
he doesn't go into dangerous areas.
So I do a whole bunch of evaluations for attorneys, for example. Everything from personal injury to workers' compensation, criminal risk, and also firearms. And so that's another subspecialty. Most doctors don't do those evaluations.
Most
doctors run from those evaluations.
Yes, right. Exactly. Right. Well, again, it's outside of their scope of
And also, it's most doctors don't shoot guns.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you could say that.
I just did.
Yeah, well, you could, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You could say it. I don't know if it's an accurate statement. But, the interesting part about it is I don't think the politics involved with that, I think, are the things that play true.
Yeah, I think on the one hand, it's a very high-risk, high-liability area.
Yeah.
And so most doctors don't want to do those evaluations anyway because it's just easier to see someone who might be dealing with some clinical issues. Why would you want to put yourself out to do high risk and liability? But again, I was trained in those environments, so that's not an issue for me. And as Anthony said, most doctors are not going to find an interest in that area. So for me, as he said, I've really made it a point to learn about firearms, to see how they're handled, to even take classes and so forth, because in my field,
you're a gun owner yourself, and you
have to have what they call cultural competence, right? So you have to understand that culture if you're going to work within it. So if I'm working with firearm owners on evaluations, right, I want to understand what the word semi-automatic means. Right?
So in a sense, if I have an issue that, I go to get my pistol permit or I go to get a firearms ID card for the first time and I'm denied because back when I was an adolescent or a young adult or whatever, I might have been depressed.
Right.
And the local doc gave me an antidepressant to take for 2 weeks or 3 weeks until my final exams were done in college and blah, 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 blah. And now that pops up for whatever reason. And the my lawyer now contacts you.
Right.
Now, if my lawyer contacted another psychologist, and that psychologist was, not, let's say, it was an anti-gun psychologist, would that taint, do you think, the professional opinion he would render or the way he looked at things?
Well, I'll let me say two things. So the first thing is, yes, there are two different types of evaluations I would do for a firearm owner. Well, one is someone trying to be a firearm owner, so if someone who's first applied and, like you said, something came up from their background. And the second would be if it was revoked, if they had a mental health incident or domestic violence incident. So that's just off the bat, let you know how that comes to be. Either they're trying to get a firearm or a permit, or it's revoked and their firearms are broken, they want to get them back.
And they're trying to get them back.
Right. So to answer your second point, it's not about necessarily pro-gun or anti-gun, but with any doctor, if your objectivity is going to be in question, you shouldn't do that work.
Mm.
So I don't – there's been evaluations where I've said, no, this person shouldn't have a firearm because they were mentally unstable.
So you're not the shill where we send them to. You're a professional.
No, I mean, again, look, I focus on where I think we all agree, regardless of which side of the debate you're on. And I think everybody would agree that we don't want
– crazy people to have guns. Yeah,
no, it makes it
violent
bad for us.
Or self-injurious to have firearms. You know, it's dangerous, and nobody would want that.
Right.
So it's kind of like with the death penalty. This is not a death penalty state anymore, but you have to have a death-qualified jury. That means they have to be willing to at least invoke the death penalty if it got to that point. So same thing with doctors. If you're – qualitatively, I'm against, you shouldn't do those evaluations. Now, again, it doesn't mean that everybody who crosses my doors, I'm not a hired gun, so to speak.
And it doesn't mean that the other psychologist is going to recuse himself from the you know, because if you know the mortgage company likes to get paid with money.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's the issue is a lot of the gatekeepers in the hospitals and the psychiatric centers, so forth, they're not necessarily knowledgeable about firearm issues.
Right.
So that's one of the things I'm trying to do, is not just try to educate the community, but my own colleagues field.
Right.
You know, and saying, look, you don't have to go to a firearm range or this and that, but you do need to understand the language, because if you just go to your average doctor and say, oh, this person had a semi-automatic, they might their imagination might run wild.
Right.
Or if they might read...
They're
going to
believe what they hear on the news or what they hear on the tape.
The stereotypes.
Yeah.
The media is... And not, you know, obviously to get a PhD, to be a doctor, you're educated, but I'm educated in a lot of things too, and I'll admit there's a lot of things I don't know about, all right? So imagine a doctor that's going to make these decisions, just like Dr. Pirelli is saying here, is just to take a visit through a range on a Tuesday and walk around and look around before you make an evaluation. When a guy puts down that he likes to target shoot, maybe understand the culture a little bit, so you don't think we're all swamp people and Duck Dynasty. You know, it's just a. So I commend you.
It's important.
For that.
And so what I've done is I've developed a framework, a model of assessment, because what'll happen is most doctors will just look at violence or suicide risk, and that's it. And so what I've done is come up with actually 10 different areas. A handful of them are those mental health, you know, does a person have a psychiatric disorder or substance use problem?
Sure.
Those are the prohibitors. But then in addition, there's about 5 or 6 other areas that are firearm specific, like why do you want this firearm? Where are you going to store it? Now, those aren't prohibitors, and they don't need to give a legal rationale for that. But as an evaluator, what I tell people is it doesn't matter if you want to get it because you say it's your right, and you think there's going to be restrictions in place in the future, or because you want to go hunting. In other words, the doctor shouldn't make the moral judgment as to why.
There's a point that you don't hear
it's
often.
It's the process. What I'm paying attention to is the person's explanation of the rationale, right? So you can clearly and logically explain anything, and I think that's what we should be evaluating as doctors. There's not a big the difference
if I live in an inner city and I'm afraid of being attacked versus if I live somewhere out in a cave and I'm worried about the Mars people landing on my front door like they do every night and when I have my tinfoil hat off.
There you go.
All right, we'll be back with the doc right after this.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
No rules. No apologies. No holding back. Gun for Hire Radio. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
Freedom. Oh, for the people.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Ron Sousa has a beautiful 38 furnished private offices, telephone answering, mail receiving, forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars and events for up to 70 people. As a matter of fact, Bob Ross from CCG sent Ron a referral last week, another Gun for Hire guy.
Very nice.
CCG is a company that prints out the ANJRPC monthly newsletter, by the way. Visit MontvilleOffice.com or dial 973-575-6080. Doc, you don't work out of a Starbucks or something. You have an office?
He's got two offices.
Only when I'm lucky I'm at Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
You have like a professional environment?
Yeah, I have an office in Verona and one in Morristown.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is set up for like someone who's just getting started and doesn't want that heavy overhead.
I should tell my proctologist to do that. He wants to meet me at this place. It's an adult...
For as little as $58 a month, you can have a professional environment. So Montville Office, Montville Executive Suites, check them out. Doc, you're back.
Thank you.
I'm done. I'm going to take a nap.
I put you to sleep already?
Not yet.
Why are you lying on a couch, Ann? I don't understand.
I need it.
I need that. So talk to me a little bit about the law. We've got some laws coming up in New Jersey that deal with mental health.
Well, there's obviously there's a couple in place that have those prohibitors that we just left off on that. You know, you can't have a substance use problem. Well, actually, the language is antiquated. It's a habitual drunkard, right? And all this, you know, type of language. But a substance use problem, you couldn't have been confined to a mental institution or, you know, have a history of committing crimes. You know, there's certain
prohibitors.
These
would be disqualified people.
Right. And those are the ones that are already in place where, again, the chief or the detective would flag, you know, potentially someone who's applying. And again, a lot of some of that's up for debate. So in other words, like you said, 10 years ago, I was spent two nights in a hospital, but I'm okay now. So then that's where I get those calls. But there are some proposed.
And the lawyer would call you, or would it would the person call you, or is it both?
It could be both. Yeah. You know, I can work with people who don't have attorneys as well. But a lot of times the attorneys are involved in the revocation cases, the cases where they're trying to get their firearms back.
Trying to get it back, like Knappen talks about all the time.
A
domestic right. issue or whatever. Right. Your husband or your wife or whoever complains that you might have threatened them, and now they come and they seize your firearms.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah.
And now you're trying to get them back.
Right. So I do those evaluations. And again, those are more likely to have an attorney because it's already been
part
of the process versus the guy or gal who's just applied, you know, 2 months ago.
Oh, you can't have that because when you were a kid, you picked your nose.
Exactly. So something like that. So anyway, the other proposed laws that were a law that was proposed, I think, last year was, I think it's A843, which would require mental health evaluations for all applicants and for you to list all the family members in your house that have a mental illness.
So only in New Jersey.
Where that's tricky is first of all, we know the numbers in terms of the numbers of applicants.
Oh, sure.
And so there's probably a few people in the state that would even do these evaluations right now.
So the line would be proposed, like we talk about the backdoor gun bans.
Yep.
Another thing that could be a backdoor gun ban. You've got, let's just say 24 qualified psychologists to do these evals, right?
You'd be doing them 10 a day. Yeah. Well, see, that's one of the issues where, again, I like to try to find, you know, where does everybody agree? And it goes back to where's actually the higher risk.
Right.
And let's focus on that. So as part of the screening procedure, again, if I could be working with the law enforcement and so forth, say, like, look, you might want to look out for this versus that. And if I can continue to consult with those agencies, then you don't necessarily need that. And now you're just flagging very high-risk people, you know, for that type of evaluation. But that's, you know, is that going to happen? I don't know. I'm not a politician. And I won't even give a personal opinion on it. What I'll say is this. Professionally speaking, it will exhaust all of our resources. And we know the truth is that most people with firearms will never kill themselves or anybody else. Or
we already know that.
We already know that. So how do we make it more focused? It's one thing to, you know, have a law in place that sounds good, but is it practical? So that's another, you know, kind of law that might be coming out.
You know, I get people come in all the time and they're scared because, you know, maybe they had a problem when they were juvenile. Maybe their girlfriend broke up with them and they told their mother they felt like killing themselves and they took them to the hospital
the local
for evaluation.
Doctor, yeah.
And then they asked me, they're like, how do I fill out the form? You know, and I'm like, go see the doc, you know, or I'll call Evan Knappen up and Knappen will refer them to a doctor. Or a clinical psychiatrist, a psychologist, right?
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit if you can. It's scary. They're scared shit.
Yeah. Oh,
it
sure,
is.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is not just an issue for the community. This is a major issue in law enforcement and corrections as well, where there's a reluctance
to go see doctors.
Or preventing
officer.
People from getting treatment because they don't want to lose their job or their freedom.
Right.
So if I had a demon in my head right now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Doc, but if I had a demon in my head right
that
now.
That was a demon in his head interrupting you.
Correct. That was gas. Oh. If I had a demon in my head, I have to decide, do I want to risk losing everything?
Right.
Because if I go see the doc here, is he going
to report
it? Yeah. Okay. So talk about that.
Well, We all have a role. So, again, the courts have their role and the attorneys have their role. But for doctors, for those of us who are evaluating people, our responsibility is to be tuned into these issues, right? So if you go to somebody who's not tuned into these issues, then they might get scared, right? They might not know what the word semi-automatic means, or this means, or that means, or they might not deal with high-risk people. So I've dealt all the way from outpatient, fairly healthy people with some issues to maximum security prison and everything in between. So when I see somebody, I have that whole range,
right,
and I can make relative decisions and say, wait, this person is not necessarily a high risk in that area, in that area. If you just go to somebody who has a very specific practice
narrow
and
focus.
Now you're asking them to step outside of that and touch a firearm case, you know, they could potentially be making decisions that are unfamiliar to them.
And they're going to be scared to make a decision.
They might be. They might err on the side of caution. And so what I do is I stay within my role. I'm not the decision maker.
Right.
So I can sleep at night because I say at the end of the day, the judge is going to make the decision.
Right.
But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay out everything for the judge or for the attorney, if that's the case. Here's all the risk factors. Here's all the safety or protective factors. You know, here's all the pros and cons. And I'm going to make it very specific. Here's how likely it would be for this person to engage in this behavior with a firearm. See, that's the key, too. You know, if you get into a domestic violence dispute, it may have nothing to do with a firearm. And you might just be very likely to keep fighting with that person, but very unlikely to ever touch a firearm. So we don't want to group everything.
Sure.
So I do what we call is context-specific assessment. You can't just say someone's a risk. A risk of what, when, how, why. And again, you know, we were talking about this before. We're in a world of sound bites, and it's hard to get these points across. But as a doctor, you can't write a one-page report. I get calls all the time. Someone will say, I need this evaluation. It's very important to me. And I'll say, okay, let's do it. And they say, well, how much is it going to be?
Yeah.
And I'll say, you know, whatever it's going to be. And say, oh, my God, it's very expensive. And I say, look, I'm going to put in 10 to 15 hours into this case.
Yeah.
You can go down the street and pay for a one-page letter.
Yeah, go pay $200, get your local GP to do it.
And you get what you paid for.
Yeah.
You know,
and he'll write it on a prescription pad.
I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't mean that every report I do is good. People can make that judgment. But I will tell you, it's thorough. It's comprehensive. Whether it's good or bad, that's up to people to decide. But I will leave no stone unturned.
Mm.
And so I just paid $1,400 for a root canal.
Right.
That's cheap, by the way.
If you're telling me, if you're telling me that a couple thousand, you know, to really evaluate something that's important to you.
Well, it's because you went to a real dentist. And the problem was.
I go to a vet. It's cheaper.
The vet is good. The guy who sweeps up the floor in the dentist's office, he works in the dentist's office.
Yeah.
He would have been cheaper.
You know, it's not all about money, of course. You know, by the way, I mean, I'm kind of kidding about money. I do a sliding scale and so forth. I like to build relationship with people and work with them, but. The truth is, if it's important to people, you know, then they have to be invested in the process,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely, your freedom. And
you want
what does your freedom and your life mean to you? Yes, exactly.
You want the documentation to follow, you know. And so how that goes. But, you know, I've had a really great experience working in this area. I work in a lot of different areas. And again, as Anthony said before, you know, I've learned a lot about firearms and the culture. And, you know, I don't advocate my personal opinions because that's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here to talk about my professional opinions. And as I said, you know, sometimes there's people that I think, wow, that person's really sick and they shouldn't have a firearm. And there's a lot of people where I say, well, yeah, they've had some problems, but that's gone or whatever. So it's a case by case basis. And that's why you go to an evaluator. You know?
Again, I'm not going to ask him to pass judgment here, but the cases I hear, like, all right, I was 16 years old, my girlfriend broke up with me, I told my mother I was going to kill myself, she sent me to a hospital for an evaluation, it kept me overnight. The guy's now 54 years old.
Right.
He's worked, he's married, had kids, got divorced once, got remarried again. No criminal history. He's worried about going to fill out his pistol permit. My advice would be to send him to someone like you, you know, to make sure he has backing data, because the questions they're going to ask, has you ever been blah, 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 admitted or whatever, he has to write yes with an explanation. And I always say it's better to have a doctor like...
To attach an explanation
than
you to try to word it yourself.
Oh, that never works. It ends up costing a tremendous amount of money. Once you're denied, you have to fight an uphill battle.
Yeah, because it's already been adjudicated.
Correct.
You know, you're already guilty. All right, we're going to come right back in a minute. Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
This segment is brought to you by PhillyGunTraining.com, PhillyGunTraining.com. Jose Morales. I saw pictures of his new place.
Yeah, it's nice.
The old place is still open right next door, but he's expanding. And he's in downtown Philly proper, right across the street from the department that issues the permits for pistols and handguns and rifles.
Actually, Spring
and
Garden Street. I don't know if that's downtown.
It's Spring Garden Street.
Yep. Yeah, Spring Garden.
Holt Cigar is down there too. If you ever want to stop down with me and meet me down there, let me know. We can stop at their lounge upstairs. Nice. I happen to visit that place like once every 2 months.
You went to a cigar lounge?
But yeah, wow. I belong to one too. Wow. Or three. Anyway, PhillyGunTraining.com. Jose has Lipstick Bodyguard in stock. What else does he have, Shake and Sandy? Because I don't know. I don't talk to him anymore.
Well, he specializes really in first-time shooters, and especially if you're considering carrying a firearm, he's the guy you want to see. You go directly across the street from him to fill out the paperwork and submit your paperwork, but I would suggest you stop on his side of the street first because he will guide you through the morass that is the Philadelphia application.
And you won't end up being like Shanine Allen because he'll tell you you can't cross state lines with your handgun concealed and then tell the officer you have it and then almost lose your career, your life, and everything else. So,
and like we talk about, you don't just buy a handgun. If you're going to carry it, you don't just buy a handgun, shove it in your belt, and you're qualified to carry a handgun.
Correct.
Just because you're licensed to carry it doesn't mean that you're qualified to carry it.
All right, and this is probably going to be my last announcement about this. The Spartan race that I'm sponsoring on September
13th. Did you get your suit of armor yet?
No, but there's 84 people registered as of today.
Holy crap,
we only have 16 left, and then I'm shutting it down. Wow. Okay, if you've registered, email us at spartan@gunforhire.com so Matt and Sandra, who are volunteering this, they can order your jerseys with your name on the back with the right size. Here's the deal. So now there's 84 people. That's $840 I'm donating. Paul Ramage is donating a dollar per person. It's up to 84. Michael Noga on Facebook, he's donating a dollar per person. Anybody else wants to do it, all the money's going to go to the Second Amendment Women's Group.
Great.
So we're already at it. They're going to be getting $1,000 so far. I'm donating 2 shirts per attendee, and they're the real deal competitor shirts with your name on the back. Team Gun for Hire, no shame. You'll get one to compete with and one to keep afterwards. I hired a professional photographer to take video stills and a drone. We're going to take before, during, and after shots.
That's pretty cool.
And I booked Minerals Resort 1/4 mile from the finish line. It cost me $65 a person, and we're all eating from 4 p.m. until 9 p.m. at Minerals. It's all on Gun for Hire, just for you guys attending. 84 people, we're cutting it off at 100. So the next 16 to register are in. So if you go on the Gun for Hire homepage, you'll see the link for the Spartan race. You want to join Team Gun for Hire, so you start Sunday morning all in the same heat. 100 of us are going to start together.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
And then let us know. Go to Spartan@gunforhire and let Matt and Sandra know. And Matt and Sandra, thank you for all your volunteerism on this as well, and as well as the SAW group. Remember, recallsweeney.com, June 27th, 9 a.m. I don't want to hear one friggin' excuse. Anybody I see negative, I will never answer your questions and emails on the radio show, forward to Napping, or anything again. All I want to hear is positive thoughts and support. Doc, you're up.
Where do I begin?
Where do I begin?
I will send the doc to write a bad evaluation on you and have your guns taken away if you don't show up for the recall Sweeney thing. Am I allowed to say that?
Remember that line we were talking about before that you shouldn't cross?
I crossed it.
Yeah. Look Good. Behind you. Yeah. There's that line.
One thing that... if I could jump in, which
please,
we're talking a lot about evaluations.
Help me.
I'm lying on the couch now.
You know, I'm talking a lot about evaluations because that's what I do. But you mentioned treatment, Anthony. And,
yes.
And that's key is, you know, by the way, people can contact me and if they need treatment, I don't give treatment, but I'll help them get a referral. You could also look at the New Jersey psychologist. Website, New Jersey Psychological Association, you can look for help. I mean, there are people who, you know, legitimately are depressed,
in a bad
anxious,
way.
Stressed, have relationship problems.
Well, this is life. We're in the New York metropolitan area. Everybody has financial problems, kid problems, wife problems, life problems.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you can... if you can go get the help, you know,
and deal with
and deal with it.
It just maybe
it gets
just talking it out with somebody who with a trained listener who can really just help you through it.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that this has to be. Now, if somebody comes to you and is a firearms owner and they come to you as a patient, you're not required to report that to anyone, are you?
No. The only time a therapist would have to report anything is if they thought there was a real
risk to,
you know, risk
to that patient or to someone else.
An identified third party, you know, essentially they call it, which is exactly what you just said. So, no, they wouldn't and they shouldn't report that, no.
So there is, I think what the point we're trying to make is that if you are going through a hard time and the last thing you want to do is to try to get through this on your own, and because you're afraid of having your firearms removed. And in New Jersey, it is a real fear. And there's a lot of, you know, people who are in the know understand that. And the last thing any of us here would want to see is someone not get help.
But that's how the New Jersey system is set up.
Oh, exactly.
To scare you.
Imagine
scare
the crap out of you.
Imagine being a cop, you know, and you were in a shooting or something, you're afraid to get help because you don't want to lose your gun.
Right.
Or maybe you're going through a divorce, or maybe you have a special needs child. We see it every day.
Right.
Do I go see the doc or not? You know, and Dr. Pirelli here is probably the first step to take, like he said, because he's not going to give you treatment, but he might sit you down and say, this is what you should do. Or he might say, you're going to be all right. Whatever the case is, I'm overstepping boundaries.
I'll get you to where you need to be, you know, within mental health. I mean, I'm not a lawyer or anything like that. I can't give you legal advice.
I'm a lawyer now, by the way, but that's another story.
You know, I'll get you the referral you need to therapist, you know, or if you need an evaluation, you know, we'll talk about that. I've had a guy say, look, I have gone through some issues. I'd like to get an evaluation to preemptively, because you said before,
that's
an uphill battle.
Yeah, correct.
And I've said to some attorneys, now again, I don't tell them what to do, but I've said, look, you might have your client get cleared, quote unquote cleared, and then have them voluntarily, you know, get rid of their guns, because you know what? That domestic violence, that marriage they're in is a mess.
Right.
And every time there's a fight,
they're going to
the
pull
guns
that
are
chip.
Taken away, you know, and this and that and the other thing. So you might want to think about that. It's much better to voluntarily step away, clear your plate, clear your head, and then on your own terms, step back in.
Very much like if you're going to buy a car, buy a house, whatever, getting pre-qualified to buy that house.
It's a liability.
It's you already now walking into it with a clear head and you're saying, you know what, I'm getting rid of this liability right up. And I've already cleared the fact. I already stopped the process of saying, oh, no, he threatened, he's crazy, she's crazy. They've already had that documented that they are.
Now, this all came about because on the other end, I hear from people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when the doc stepped into the range a year ago and we started talking, we were like, we need a need for this. And we, in fact, have courses for this now.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about them for a minute?
Yeah.
They're on our website, by the way.
We've developed two courses. One is for civilians. One is for law enforcement and corrections, you know. And so the first course is psychology and firearms. And we talk about some of the general, like, high-profile shooting and, you know, just talking about some of those issues. And then we get into kind of the statistics, the New Jersey laws, and some of the mental health-related issues. And then I go into exactly what is, you know, some of the stuff we talked about today, I talk about in more detail. What is the role of psychologists in these cases? Let's talk about mental illness. Let's talk about substance use, violence, suicide. We talk about that here because, you know, I came and I saw Anthony a year ago and I said, look, you know, I'm doing these evaluations. This would be cutting edge. I don't think anyone's doing this.
Correct.
For having mental health professionals in these environments, you know, educating, you know, the folks about some of these issues. So that's what we started doing. And I could tell you a little bit more about that when we come back.
Okay, we will be back. You can help me produce this show.
Yeah.
You know what that means. He doesn't.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
And the offer still holds. If you order two or more lipstick bodyguards, you get one of our I Will Not Comply bumper stickers.
Correct.
As part of the deal. It's a $3 value, and it's courtesy of us.
And we have a ton of I Will Not Comply shirts.
Oh, yeah, I Will Not Comply
shirts.
And online.
Yeah, you can order
absolutely.
Them online.
You can order
gunforhire.com.
And store, just slash store.
You know what? The doc is coming right back in. His class... It's under exclusive guest speakers, and his next class, Firearms, Psychology and Firearms for Civilians, this is anybody can take it, actually, is June 13th, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. So if you're interested in that, it's under exclusive guests and speakers, and we'll be talking about that. I'll be here that day as well. He's taught this here before. And
we were talking about it
results.
Off the air, too, about how important this is for law enforcement, too.
Yes. They should – well, again, because you don't want – they're afraid they're going to lose their job.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Doc, real quick, a couple of things. There's talk that New Jersey might scrap the smart gun law because they realize preventing free trade because nobody wants to come up with a smart gun because nobody's going to sell it.
Right.
So if they scrap it and say let the market dictate – what's going to happen. But meanwhile, Lou Greenwald made the statement and said that they'll subsidize the manufacturing of smart guns. So it's not free market. It's back to government intervention.
With our money.
And for you people out there, out of the state of New Jersey, we talk about supporting us because what happens in New Jersey doesn't stay in New Jersey. one of our representatives down in Washington, Bonnie Watson Coleman from New Jersey, just introduced an online ammo ban that will be national, so you won't be able to order ammo online anymore. So if you're not supporting us with the ANJRPC.com, NJ2AS.com, which is also Recall Sweeney, it'll be coming soon to your state, too.
Yes,
you won't be
will.
Able to buy ammo online anymore. So welcome to New Jersey, comrade.
New Jersey's coming to you, baby.
And I want to get back into it with the doc in a minute, but go ahead, Doc. Where you left off. I'm sorry. We're back.
No, it's fine. So we're just talking about classes. So the next class, as you said, is June 13th. We're calling it civilian because we also offered the law enforcement class. And
which is more centric, but even the class, from what I understand from it, from your syllabus, is that if you're law enforcement, this would be a great place to start.
Right.
And then if you're interested in a law enforcement only one, then you have that for law enforcement too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the main goal is to, they have the saying, if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question is, what am I looking at? You know what I mean? I'm trying to help.
What am I looking for?
Trying to help people have a sense of, well, what does it mean when my child's isolated? I have a 19-year-old kid who's isolated in his room. What does that mean? Every behavior and symptom could be a result of many different problems.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to push some mental health awareness here, talk about substance use, violence, suicide, in addition to some more specific firearm and psychology things, like I said, the high-profile shootings. What are the characteristics of those shooters? How is that different than some of the other things we're dealing with day-to-day and, in our communities and so forth? But, again, at the end of the day, my role is really just an educator. And as someone who's coming in, because I give these talks, I give these talks to groups that are on the other side of the aisle,
of
too.
Of course, yeah. Sure.
I go to the other groups who don't like guns, for example, and basically it's the same talk.
Yeah,
because
facts don't change.
Here's the mental. Here's what mental illness is. Here's how we need to define it. Right. Here's the firearm statistics, and here's all the considerations. So again, my personal opinions are what they are. That's not relevant.
Mm-hmm.
I can come here and give you guys this information and then the information, and reasonable minds are going to agree to what I said when I started today, which is we don't want people who are danger themselves or others with a firearm to have access to them.
Right. Or a knife or a hammer or a golf club.
There you go. So if that's where I keep my focus. And again, we all have different roles. You guys have your own advocacy. We all have our different kind of roles in this world. And my role is really that. So I'm really excited about the upcoming class. We had a great class last time. Some really inquisitive folks showed up. We got into some really interesting discussions. I think it's very rare for people to be able to take these type of classes. I mean, normally you have to kind of just sign up at a college or something.
Right.
It's difficult to do. I mean, I don't think at the local adult school brochure they have psychology and firearms.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's kind of interesting how we've been able to kind of, present this.
I think it's a fascinating approach to something that we deal with all the time. And like Anthony says, these things, they come up. And with mental health not being a pretty big issue, where for whatever reason, when you had these mass shootings right away, many of them are motivated by troubled people.
Yeah.
And some of them are not. Many of them have that as a...
It's actually the issue. Like, think about it. Look at the sniper case, PTSD, this and that.
Right.
Whenever you see these poster child cases, sensational cases, it's almost always a mental health issue.
Right.
And so how do we, again, keep the focus on the mental health aspects of it?
Right.
And, do we really want to focus on the guy who's hunting for the last 30 years and pull his shotgun or something?
About it all the time. You're focusing in on the tool versus the...
Right.
The actor.
Yeah, so one of the things recently published an article, and so, the famous guns kill people versus people kill people,
mm-hmm.
and so what I specified was certain people with guns kill people.
Right, okay,
And I hate to be so, detailed about it, but that's just a reality.
True.
It's very specific, and we need to get specific, or else there's going to be a broad-based, overarching... laws and broad strokes, evaluations, and we don't want that. And I don't know, Anthony, you guys know this more than I do, obviously, but I think this might be probably one of the only classes like this. Do other ranges?
No, we're first. I can't imagine. We're the first because we're always looking at, listen, there's legislation in New Jersey. That guy, they denied that guy a pistol permit. He had a domestic violence 17 years ago, and it was dropped.
Right.
Completely dropped. And they used an excuse to deny his permit. So these are the things we're dealing with. So we need people like you. And again, it's not like people like him where we're shilling. He's a pro-gun doctor and go to him. It doesn't work that way. No. He has to be objective. He has to cover his ass. He has to deal with malpractice. Right.
And like you said, he's not a pro-gun doctor. Correct. He is a doctor who shoots.
Correct.
You know,
and he's taking the time to understand our culture,
right,
and understand the situation that we deal with in the New York metropolitan area. And that we need that. And again, I don't want how many people could prevent doing something, hurting themselves or someone else if they sought out Dr. Pirelli first.
Right.
Are people out there that are wondering whether they should get help or not? Come to our seminar.
And not even for yourself, but for people around you.
Correct.
I mean, you could be in a workplace situation, because I'm sure you discussed that too. In a workplace situation, what type of a personality should you be? If you're an employer, what type of a personality are you looking for that you should be concerned about when they say, I'm coming back and blowing everybody's head off?
Senator Cody introduced legislation that if you have someone in your house with mental health issues, he's going to deny.
Right.
They want to deny your permit.
Again, this is New Jersey. They want to do that at every, they will find every avenue they can, whether it's legal or whether it's through the administrative code, or whether it's through some executive fiat, in order to ban guns.
One of the things that I really focus on is how is the firearm related to, the question. And so again,
that's a good point, because I had a question before. You made a statement that certain people will kill people with a firearm. Now remove that, like they did in Britain. And those same people will find something else. Is that true? Or,
yeah, possibly. I mean, again,
ball, peen, hammer.
It depends on the case.
If the gun is removed,
the question, right? And so that's the question we need to ask in each case.
Okay.
Right. So in other words, not that there was a domestic violence incident, not that there's alcohol use, whatever, but how is that connected
to
the
incident?
Fact that there's a firearm, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I'm asking people, what are your views on? Firearms, where do you store it? This and that. What are the messages that you're teaching your children about? Again, I don't make a moral standpoint.
Right.
I just want to understand the thought process. Because like you said before, if it's irrational and it starts, start being delusional, this and that, then we're concerned. Otherwise, there's certain legal rights, and I have nothing to say about that. I mean, the rights are the rights. So I'm just a doctor here to evaluate mental health issues and risk, and then I'm there to give it to the judges and to the courts. And so I was happy because I did a case recently, and the opposing attorney was a prosecutor, was really favorable and said, thank you. And she was the opposing attorney. Said, thank you for addressing all of these other issues. Again, it's not enough just to go down to any old, doctor or whatever this and that. Doesn't mean they're bad.
No.
They're probably very good at what they do, but this is specific area, so I tell people, it doesn't have to be me. I'll find you someone else, but go to someone who's tuned in and who understands some of the issues that you guys are talking about.
If in my experience, in all the years I've been helping people who come to me who have issues to address, the people that rang the bell and wrote their own little 8.5 by 11 piece of paper on what happened when they were a kid, $5,000 to $10,000 after they were denied in legal fees and expert fees.
Wow.
By not being prepared.
Well, it's like trying to do your own root canal.
I can do that. All right, I have some announcements. Doc, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Doc will be here June 13th from 10 to 2. Firearms and psychology for civilians, law enforcement, everything. You're all welcome to attend. We are now using the Essex County Police Academy again in Cedar Grove.
Oh, great.
14 ports indoor, no dividers. It's 5 minutes from the Woodland Park Range. The reason we did it is so we don't have to cut into the members shooting here at the range. We'll be nights and weekends running all kinds of special events, clinics, classes, and you know, urban carbine, urban pistol, and everything in an air-conditioned, weather-controlled environment. So
you still do that simulator thing out there too?
Yeah, the FATS machine. If it's back up, we'll be running it again. So we're back in Cedar Grove. Also, I just want to talk about our protective pen class, May 24th. There's a few slots left. Urban Pistol 2 in Easton, May 17th. Urban Pistol 3 in Easton, June 7th. Nappin, July 10th. Nappin's our guy on the legal end. Dr. Pirelli right here is our guy on the doctor end, all right? He just made a bad face at me. I think I'm in trouble. our test drives. We have a carry test drive, classic test drive, belt-fed test drive, carbine test drive, which is almost sold out, big rig test drive, and a shotgun test drive, all in July, starting July 13th to July 22nd. So come on down. RecallSweeney.com, RecallSweeney.com, RecallSweeney.com.
Saturday, June 27th in the Glassboro area at 9 a.m. Show up.
Bitches. Doc?
Thank you.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Colandro, the good doctor, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Grazie mille, doctor. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Do it, Winston. We'll see you guys next week.